Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. Let me read for us Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and then I will share with you some insights as we draw near the end of our discussion on this one very important verse in Genesis 3. We could make the case even in the entire Bible. In Genesis 3, verse 15, God is punishing the serpent. God is punishing Satan, and he says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." I am not sure if you remember or not, but on the very first day we discussed this verse, I emphasized that God is in charge. We began with the pronoun I, meaning God, and God sets in motion what the rest of the verse predicts. God is sovereign, and he has providential control of Satan. God and Satan are not equals. Satan is submissive to God. And so holy God punishes Satan, and Satan must take his punishment. He will suffer at the hands of God for what he has done by sowing sin in the garden in Eden. Well, that control that the Lord has, that is what I want to draw us back to as we end our discussion on verse 15. And the first thing I want to say is that we know something now that Satan, at the time God punished him here in Genesis 3, we know something that Satan did not know. Because we have the entire Bible, all 66 books, when we read Genesis 3, we can read back into the text what we have learned elsewhere in Scripture. So we know that Mary gave birth to Jesus, and Jesus is the man who went to the cross to bruise Satan on the head. But let's pretend for just a moment that we are spectators back in Genesis 3, verse 15. We are not living now, but then. We do not know the rest of the story. We hear God say to Satan that his punishment is that he shall bruise you on the head. Well, the question we would ask ourselves, and the question Satan has to be asking himself is, who specifically is he, and whose son will he be? God is intentionally not specific. He leaves the devil wondering. And that is the burden Satan will bear for a very long time, constantly questioning, is this the woman? Is this the man? Is this the one who will crush me? This is really a way for God to torture the devil. Maybe Satan thought it would happen quickly. Could it be that when Eve gave birth to Cain in Genesis 4, that Satan thought, this is it. Cain is the he who will bruise me. Is that why Satan planted anger in Cain's heart and Cain killed Abel? Did Satan tempt Cain to sin in order to keep Cain from bruising the devil himself? H.C. Leupold, picking up on the theology of Martin Luther, writes this, quote, "By leaving open the question of just what woman the Savior was to be born, God mocks the tempter, always leaving him in uncertainty, which one would ultimately overthrow him, so that the devil had to live in continual dread of every woman's son that was born." Unquote. Satan wonders and wonders and wonders. He waits all the way down through the centuries between Genesis 3:15 and the Gospels. And then one day there is born in Bethlehem the boy Jesus. He is the son of the woman, Mary. And this baby Jesus is the he that will grow up to bruise the head of Satan, just as God had predicted by way of punishment all the way back here in Genesis. And all that time, the devil was tortured by this constant question, is this the woman? Is this her son? Is this the one who has come to crush me? Oh, doesn't this again demonstrate to us that God is in charge? God's intention in this verse is not to answer the question. God's intention is to punish Satan. And this is part of his punishment. He will have to wait and see whom God chooses to crush him. And you and I will have to keep reading the Bible to learn that Jesus is the one. We come now to my second closing insight on verse 15. Notice, by carefully looking at the end of the verse, that Satan is clearly defeated. It is his head that is bruised, whereas all Satan is able to do is bruise the heel of Jesus. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The bruising of the head comes first, and the bruising of the heel second. The order tells us who the victor is, Jesus. Oh, it's true that Satan will wound Christ, but only on the heel, not on the head. Our friend H.C. Leupold has something valuable to say here as well. A crushed head spells utter defeat. A bruised heel may be nursed until healed, and if the bite has been poisonous, the poison may be removed by sucking or cauterizing. Jesus merely suffers. Satan is crushed. How true this is. Satan in the form of a snake, a serpent, will rear back his head and strike at Jesus. But so what? Jesus has the anti-venom. Satan is no match for Christ. A quick strike on the heel does not beat a bash in the head. And finally, this third insight. Notice that it is Christ who bruises Satan's head. It is not the collective seed of the woman that bruises Satan. God says, he, meaning Jesus, will bruise you, meaning Satan, on the head. God is very specific. And this is crucial for Christians to understand. In our lives, it is Jesus who has defeated the devil for us. He goes up against Satan in war, and even after the cross has sealed Satan's defeat forever, there is an ongoing and constant battle that rages all around us between our Lord Jesus and our enemy Satan. The angelic forces align with Christ, and the demonic forces align with the devil, and the spiritual warfare is on. It's coming hot, it's coming heavy against us. As Christians belonging to Christ, we experience the effects of this war. You do not have to be a believer long to know that we have to be people who, to quote Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, put on the full armor of God. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. This is Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. There you have it. The Apostle Paul uses the imagery of a soldier in war and says Christians must put on the full armor of God. Later, he will describe each piece. And the Greek word for put on here speaks of permanence. That is, we put on the full armor of God and we never take it off. It is not that each morning in prayer we put on the armor, then at the end of the day we take it off, only to put it all back on again in the morning. No, we always, 24/7, morning, noon, and night, wear the armor. That is how we are protected in the spiritual war that rages all around us. That is how you and I stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Notice what Paul says in verse 12 about whom our struggle is against, the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This describes the unseen spiritual world all around us. This describes Satan and his demons and our struggle against them. We cannot see them, but we feel them. We see the effects of their battle plan being carried out in this world with Christians at the center of their target. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against demonic forces that we cannot see. And every so often, some Christian speaker or teacher, there are many of these on the radio and TV, they come along and they say, we Christians, we have got to identify these demons and take them on, yield our armor and go after them. Get on the offensive. We've got to map out where these powers are and go slay us some devil. No. The Scripture does not teach that. What does Scripture teach? First, we are to put on our armor to use it to defend ourselves, to be on the defensive. Second, we are to resist the devil. Instead of trying to go on the offensive to find the devil and root him out, we are to get away from him. Listen to James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Run to God, resist the devil, and by doing so, Satan will flee. What a great promise! Resist the devil, and he will flee. In Genesis 3:15, it is Christ who bruises Satan's head. It is not the collective seed of the woman that bruises Satan. In our lives, it is Jesus who has defeated the devil for us. We run into Christ and we are safe. To quote Ephesians one more time, at Ephesians 1, verse 19, we have the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us who believe. We deal with the devil not in our own power, but by the surpassing greatness of God's power in us who believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you have God's power in you. This is what I have had time to share with you regarding verse 15 of Genesis 3. We will move on now, but always remember the God who is in charge. Satan has been punished for the crime of introducing sin to Eve and to Adam. Satan is sentenced. Up next, God turns to Eve herself, and he will do so tomorrow, right here on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.